Today on Maine Calling, native plants for next year's garden. It's that time of year. Most oaks and birch, ash and maple trees have lost their leaves. There's frost in the morning, and chances are you've put your garden to bed for the winter. That means it's the perfect time to think about future gardens and what you might want to change or tweak for next year. Many people want to incorporate more native plants in their landscape, and for good reason. Native plants benefit the birds, bees, soil health, and more. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we talk with native plant experts about what you might do now to create a more ecological garden for the long run, and how the concept of slow gardening can help. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling On Demand is made possible by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, supporting Maine island communities through education, health, and community engagement. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Sometimes the best way to approach gardening is with patience. It's hard, I know. However, as our guests today tell us, creating an ecological garden full of native plants has so many benefits. Joining us, Heather McCargo, who is educator and founder of the Wild Seed Project, Andrew Brand, Director of Horticulture for Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, and Kathy Reese, co-founder and executive director of Native Gardens of Blue Hill. Are you somebody who wants to add more native plants to your landscape? Do you have questions for our experts today? If so, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. That is a different phone number than our pledge phone number. You can also send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post a comment on social media. That's Facebook or Instagram. I want to thank our guests for joining us today. And Heather, I'm going to start with you because somebody might say, well, why are you doing a show on gardening in November, in the middle of November? And you think that this is a great time to think about native plants, right?
Were you speaking to me? I'm sorry.
Yes. Can you all hear me?
Now yeah. I can.
Now
okay,
I can.
Great, great. So Heather, what I wanted to ask you, sorry about the technical problem there, is, you know, somebody might say it's November 14th, Jen, why are you talking about gardens? But Heather, you think this is a great time to talk about gardens and especially about native plants.
Yes, and there's a couple reasons why. First of all, it's a great time to think through what you want to do, what you want to plant in the spring. And you can even prep the site now in preparation for the spring, you know, where these warmer weather we have, there's still plenty of time if you want to dig an area out or sheet mulch it. And it also, finding the native plants you want to plant takes a little more work. And so you give you all winter to search out, you know, decide on and search what you're species you're going to choose. And then, of course, if you want to grow some of them yourself, the late fall and early winter is the best time to sow the native seeds because they're wild plants from the north and they need a winter cold period outside before they'll be ready to germinate in the spring.
And so that's why. And we'll talk about which kind of seeds and things like that in just a little bit. Andy, I'm guessing that you're going to say, and this is a great time while you're summer garden is fresh in your mind to think about, okay, what areas were trouble? What might I want to tweak or move? That this is the time to maybe make some notes. Am I right?
Definitely. Yeah. You know, before you wrap up things in the garden, definitely get out there and, you know, think about, do things get enough sunlight? You know, maybe they do need to get moved to a different location. You know, are they overcrowding? That type of thing. You know, I definitely make notes of all of that now. And then, kind of plan out, be ready to plan out your garden throughout the winter months. And like Heather said, it's a fun time to work with the seeds, collect them, and then get ready to sow them later. And then look for sources of these wonderful plants, particularly local sources with local genotypes.
All
Really
right.
key.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask you a little bit more about what we mean by native plants in just a minute, but I want to turn to Catherine. I know that your organization has a 4-acre demonstration garden. What are you doing right now in November in your garden?
To be honest, we're doing very little, and that's how we like it. So people can come by the garden and see what a lot of plants look like when they have not cut them back, and how wonderful so many of them look over the entire winter when they catch the snow and move in the light. So we have done a little bit of leaf raking and done a lot of mulching with leaves. Some of those are whole leaves, some of those are shredded leaves. And pretty much things are as they're going to be right now for the whole winter. We might have to run out there if a few things get a little bit battered by the wind over the winter. But in general, we like to keep as much standing as possible for all the insects that use those plants as homes over the winter. And we love to keep the leaves on the beds as a way to mulch the beds and also for insect habitat as well.
All right. Well, we have done many Maine calling programs on native plants, but I'm not going to presume that all of our listeners have heard them. So, Andy, just very quickly, I want you to run through what do we mean when we say a native plant? I'm thinking it probably means something that grew in New England before the colonists came from Europe. Would you say that's an accurate
That
definition?
is often the definition you will see is before colonization. There's so many answers to that question, and it's different people's viewpoints. Is a plant that grows anywhere in the United States native? Some people that it's yes. For me, I prefer to be more local and stay within either the state or within New England for myself personally. And that's more just so we're supporting the diversity of the genetics that we have here and not introducing genetics by bringing in a flowering dogwood from like the southeast. So for me, it's the more the local character of a native plant for the definition for me, because I don't go as broad. I like to stay with our what are called ecoregions in this area. And Maine has three, I believe.
All right. And Heather, we've touched on, Kathy's touched on, Andy's talked about the benefits to native plants for insects and birds and things like that. And we're learning about, for example, monarch butterflies and all sorts of other plants that benefit from native plants. But I want to turn it around a little bit. It also benefits the gardener, right? I mean, something that is native to this area is going to be easier to grow than perhaps something that has been brought from a different ecosystem.
Well, it's more that the plants from our region are all intertwined with the other species that they co-evolved with. Sometimes when you bring a plant from another part of the world, it's very easy to grow. In fact, too easy to grow, and those are the ones that become our invasive species. For the native plants that you plant to be easy, you really need to choose the plants that have your existing growing conditions. And that's the kind of thing that people can really be doing right now, just remembering their yard in the summer. Where is it sunny? Where is it shady? Where is there wind? Where does water flow? And then choosing, looking that in your yard and choosing the native plant species that like those conditions. So if you have a sunny, dry site, instead of fighting that by really trying to change the soil and add a lot of organic matter. Instead, we've got tons of great native plants that's like sunny, dry sites. Or if you have a lot of shade, that, and this happens to be my personal passion, that we've got lots of species from the deciduous forest of Eastern North America that make great shade plants. And embrace that, especially with our heating climate, we're going to need more shade. So learn to, what plants you can plant that will thrive in those shady conditions.
Yeah, Kathy, I mean, we're having this conversation where much of Maine is in either drought or near drought conditions, but I'm guessing that many of your native plants are doing okay because, well, they've dealt with this before.
Yes, they're very well adapted to a lot of the conditions that we have here in Maine. And we know, like, it's always been, you wait 5 minutes, the weather is going to change. It's variable. It's very variable here. I was reminded of the fall of 1947, how dry it was that fall, and which ended up in forest fires everywhere. And so this isn't the first time we've had a very dry autumn. Fortunately, no big fires, but our plants are adapted to these changing conditions, and they can do just fine. When it's dry, a dry summer usually doesn't affect the native plants like it affects a lot of the cultivated plants that we choose, and especially our vegetables, which need to have constant moisture.
All right. Well,
So,
joining us on the line now is Tara Roberts Zabriskie, who is a videographer and producer with Moosey Productions. She has a film called The Buzz on Native Plants, and it's going to air tonight on Maine Public Television at 9:30. Thanks so much for calling in, Tara.
yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to share.
What is the message or focus of your film, The Buzz on Native Plants?
Yeah, the focus of the film is really to make people aware of the importance of native plants and, how easy it is for them to make an impact in their own front yard or backyard or whatever space they might have. So, we talk about making a difference just with a pollinator garden, maybe on your front porch with a few pots. All the way to showing an example of someone in a family in South Portland that turned their entire backyard into a native garden area. And they talk about all of the additional butterflies and bees that have shown up because of those plants. But also the resistance that they have to I just heard Kathy talking about the drought, but also the flooding. We show one example in the film where there's a steep slope that it was actually the Frenchman Bay Conservancy had put in a whole native garden area on the slope that they were having problems with erosion and flooding, and it took care of the problem. So, we hit a lot of different points in the film, but the main point is to just be aware and see what small part each person can take in making a more balanced ecosystem.
And some of those people who we have on Maine Calling today are in your film. What motivated you to make it? How did this idea come to you? What was the seed?
What was the seed? That's a good question. I think I've always had an interest in protecting pollinators, protecting bees, and just creating a more balanced ecosystem in our world. And the year before, I had made a film about dark skies in Maine, and that was hugely successful. And we showed it on Maine Public Broadcasting and community screenings all across the state. And it did go on to do a national run on PBS as well. And I just took that energy and turned it into my next project and said, well, what else am I passionate about other than the night sky? And native plants was one of them that came up for me. And I approached a couple different organizations, and Native Gardens of Blue Hill was one of them. I know Kathy's on there now. And to partner with them and say, hey, can you help me tell this story through your eyes and your experience?
Well, Tara, congratulations. Thank you so much for calling in. Tara Roberts Zabruski is with Brisky, excuse me, with Moosey Productions. Her film, The Buzz on Native Plants first airs tonight at 9:30 on Maine Public Television, and then will air again Saturday and Sunday on Maine Public Television. If you have questions for our guests about native plants, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or find us on social media. When we come back, I'm going to ask for some tips on how to do this a little bit at a time, knowing that most people don't have the time or budget to do everything all at once. We're going to take a quick break. This is Maine Calling. We'll be back soon.
Maine Calling is made possible by listeners who donate and by Friends of Acadia, helping to protect and preserve Acadia National Park for future generations. Join at friendsofacadia.org and Gardner Real Estate Group, accepting reservations for Stevens Square condos at Baxter Woods, a 55-plus active lifestyle community in Portland, stevensquare.com.
You're listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio. I'm Caitlin Bedayan, one of the news reporters here at Maine Public, and I'm here with Corey Morrissey, our marketing director, encouraging you guys to give us a call to make a donation. The phone number you're going to want to keep in mind is 1-800-866-1475.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's Maine Calling. It's a great show yet again. Not a big surprise, Caitlin. It's always good. And Caitlin, our job today is so easy. It's so easy because there is a flash match. John and Bernadette Spears have generously offered to match any donation that comes in for the next hour. So that is any donation, any increase, if you're an existing Evergreen member, a new donor, or even a one-time gift. That is super generous, and also what a great way to support the station.
Absolutely. A really great opportunity to boost your support for Maine Calling and all of Maine Public's programs. Different from the Maine Calling phone number, if
Absolutely.
You're looking
good,
to make
very
a
good
gift,
point.
You want 1-800-866-1475, or feel free to go online to mainepublic.org. But that way you don't get to talk to any of our nice volunteers here with us today.
Absolutely, who are ready and prime. They're ready to go. And this is, yet again, another great week for Maine Calling. There was veteran stories and porcupines, which I did give a chance to listen to, archaeology, truths and fictions, native plants today, and then tomorrow is Northern Lights. And these are just an example of some of the great programming that you're obviously listening to right now that you really value, and it's only made possible through your support. We have a wonderful team of Maine Calling folks who work really hard to bring you this breadth and depth of programs. But again, it starts at 1-800-866-1475. Or if you want, go to mainepublic.org where you can donate, and it's totally safe and secure.
Absolutely. And truly, Maine Calling is such a great example of all the programming that Maine Public offers. You know, you listen to it here on the radio. Today's show is tied to a documentary TV production that you can view as well.
Airs tonight at 9:30 on Maine Public Television.
Absolutely. And so really shows just how your support goes so far for these programs. And really that all of this is by Mainers and for Mainers, and only possible because of that support that you bring. So much of our funding, 75% for our Maine Public's funding, comes from the community. And really that means that we answer to you, and it's something we really value. So again, please give us a call, 1-800-866-1475.
And there is actually a cool little premium, a little, not prize, but a thank you gift, I guess is the best way to describe it. If you donate $30 a month or $360 for the year, which is less than a dollar a day, we have this really cool Maine Public wool blanket from Minus 33 from Ashland, New Hampshire. It's a throw size. It's striking blue and green buffalo plaid print. I don't know. I kind of want one.
Oh, absolutely. Especially today with the cold weather at my house this morning, that, you know, an extra blanket, it's really just
it's
that time
helpful.
Of year. Maybe you want to give yourself and us a nice early Christmas gift.
Right. And also imagine a blanket that makes a statement, you know, which is kind of neat,
exactly.
but tastefully, very tastefully. That starts at 1-800-866-1475. Your support is super helpful, especially this hour. A flash match from John and Bernadine Spears. Any donation that comes in the next hour within the time here of Maine Calling will be matched. And that is incredibly generous. And it's a great way to extend your own money. You can really make more of an impact right now by doing so. Again, to 1-800-866-1475. And thank you.
Thank you so much.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we're learning about the benefits of native plants, how to make a plan for adding them to your garden, and why slow gardening might be the smart approach. With me today, Andy Brand, Director of Horticulture at Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, Kathy Reese, Executive Director of Native Gardens of Blue Hill, and Heather McCargo, founder of the Wild Seed Project. Share your comments and questions. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. Comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call, and here's the number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Okay, Andy, as promised, you're listening to this program. You're thinking, okay, I'm going to add something next year. I'm not going to dig up my whole yard. What's the strategy to get started?
I mean, that's kind of the way I've approached gardening. And I'm not necessarily a designer, but I kind of evaluate the garden on a whole to see like what's missing and what needs to be added, because you want to make sure you've got, you know, native trees, and then you want native shrubs, and then come down to the herbaceous layer, and then right down to the ground covers. And I take a look and see to get a good balance. And to, for me, just adding a few things a year is good. And then just to get a sense of how things perform in your garden before you just go kind of crazy and like put a garden in and then kind of walk away with it. This is the type of garden that you want to be in all the time and observe what's happening on these native plants that you're putting in to attract all the various insects and wildlife. I mean, that's the whole main purpose for putting these plants in, is to increase that biodiversity in our yards that is so beneficial to maintain our ecosystems, that they're healthy as well.
Kathy, are there good starter native plants? I'm thinking black-eyed Susan. Are there native plants where you say, you know what, these are going to make you smile the first year? And we're going to talk about the slow gardening concept in a minute. But for someone who really wants to just maybe stick their big toe in the water.
Yeah, a couple of great ones that can work in just about any garden setting, whether it's an established perennial bed or a new place you want to garden. I really like the native bee balm. It is this one that makes me smile every time I see it, and it plays pretty well with other things. Another one I really like is the swamp milkweed. Just because it is a milkweed, it has just a beautiful, fragrant flower that insects just love. And of course, the monarchs require that for their larvae. So those would be two maybe of my favorites. They both require quite a bit of sun. So if you have a more shady yard, you might try something as simple as ferns, which are so easy care and beautiful and turn amazing colors in the fall and can just be a really fabulous addition to a shady garden.
All right, Heather, what would you add to that?
I would add, I'm not going to go through a list of plants. Instead, if you're like most Americans, you have way too much lawn in your yard. And that, when you're looking at your yard right now, where can you cut back on some of that? Because while no other plant can be treaded on like turf grass, it doesn't need to be everywhere. And it has so little value for the rest of nature. So looking at your yard and where do you have a lot of lawn and where can you cut it back? And that's like the perfect job to do right now, where you put down just layers of cardboard or brown paper and then leaves or shredded bark mulch on top, and then you'll be all ready to plant in the spring. So if you want to, you know, really impact and have some, you know, impact your yard in the favor of nature, it's reducing some of the lawn and getting it. And then, like Andy said, start with where can you add more trees? And then the layers underneath, you know, the canopy trees, understory trees, and then ground covers. And by the way, Wild Seed Project has lots of information on the different species, both on our website, and we have print publications on all these topics.
All right. But Andy, right now is not a great time to plant a tree though, right?
For me, I mean, we've been planting because it has been mild, but typically I usually try to stop in October. I mean, you just want them to get established. I mean, part of it too, though, depends where it's going to be sited. do, you know, in the size that you're going to be planting. I love to plant trees early in the spring and just give them all season long to get established, to get their root systems down. And I like to start them smaller myself. I love to watch them grow. I know it's, you think, oh, you plant that 5-foot tree, and it's like, you just have to imagine what that's going to be doing in 10, 15 years and all the creatures it's going to be supporting. And I would encourage people to put an oak in. I know we've got problems with brown tail moth, but oaks are so amazing for the number of particularly Lepidoptera butterflies and moth species they support.
And Andy, you said early in the spring. What do you mean by that? What to you is early in the spring?
I would try to, the way our climate has been lately, I mean, we've been planting early April.
And that's it.
They're dormant. Yeah.
And Kathy?
Yeah, that's a great time, especially for transplanting. I mean, in my yard, I have a lot of trees coming up that I don't really want everywhere. And it's the perfect time to transplant those to my friends and the native garden, wherever a tree is in need. And there's this window in April before the buds really start to swell, but the ground is already thawed out, when you can move practically anything and it won't, when it wakes up, it won't even know it got moved.
Well, Kathy, April's I want to build on something that Andy said, that he likes to plant small trees and watch them grow over 10 or 15 years. And Kathy, I know from the film that you appear in and is airing tonight on Maine Public that you're an advocate of something called slow gardening. We know about the slow food movement and slow fashion, and you're talking about slow gardening. I've been a gardener for a long time. First time I heard that expression. What do you mean by it?
Well, it has a lot of similarities to those other movements. The first part of it is really about where you're getting your garden plants, just like where you're getting your food. Can you get those plants from a local grower? At Native Gardens of Blue Hill, through our various programs, we're really trying to foster more growers, local growers of native plants that are like either an important part of their income or supplementary income to be growing and selling these plants at our plant sales. So first of all, you're getting your local plants. They are free from any kind of systemic pesticides, things that might not be good for the pollinators you're hoping to attract. They might also be a little bit smaller than a typical plant that you might buy at a nursery. So that means it will take a little bit longer for that plant to reach maturity. And especially with a lot of our native plants, they do take a bit longer just in general. I mean, the reason that so many of the plants that we can buy at a nursery are there are because they're very easy to grow, and they're very easy to grow quickly. Our native plants don't grow that fast, so we have to be a little bit more patient with natives. And so that's part of the slow part. But that, like Andy said, that gives us a chance to observe and watch and see what insects are coming and see which plants work well with those. And how we can create a whole little network of plants that are interacting with each other and the environment around them. So as the plants grow, the garden grows, the gardener grows too.
Heather, I want to ask you about something you sort of mentioned at the beginning of the program, which is that this is a good time to collect seeds. That might sound a little daunting, a little intimidating to some people. And I know that there's a lot of information on your website and there are classes. But if you wanted to just give somebody some general guidance of what they might do right now, walking around their property or a place that has wild native plants that are standing, what's some sort of general advice? How do you get started?
Well, if it's a new skill you're developing, I wouldn't suggest starting now. I'd instead suggest starting in the spring, noticing the plants, and after they flower, what kind of seed pod forms. If it's, you know, it's really important to remember, if it's not your land, you need to ask permission before you even can collect the seeds. But it's seed sowing where I like people to begin with propagating. Because What you don't want to do is collect seeds if you don't know how to handle them and use them. And so that's a little, takes a little more skill than getting some seeds. Like that's one of the things that Wild Seed Project does is offer locally grown native seeds for sale, is get some seeds. And then what's counterintuitive to typical gardeners who are used to growing plants from somewhere else or vegetables is it's not warm weather when you sow them. It's actually cold weather when you sow them. And you can, you also, I like to have people sow them in pots or in some sort of prepared bed with some good organic potting soil, as opposed to everyone wants to just toss the seeds out in their yard. But, you know, the, you know, most seeds that blow around in nature become part of the food web to other, you know, birds and small mammals. So if you want to get them, you know, all those seeds to germinate, if you sow them in a small pot, cover them with sand, put them outside, and then wait all winter, and then they will germinate in the spring. And it's pretty magical to watch it happen. And if you're a beginner, you want to start with the easy species like milkweed and asters and goldenrod and bee balm and penstemons. You know, don't start with the trickiest ones, but it really is within the grasp of a lot of people. And it's a really inexpensive way to produce a lot of plants. Then when you're planting your garden, not just planting one individual, you'll have a whole little population that you can plant either in your yard, or if you are really successful, you can share them with your friends.
So how fun. Right now you could do that. You could plant some in pots or good organic soil, or seeds of something like milkweed, asters, goldenrod. You said cover it in a little sand, and in the spring you'll have seedlings.
Yes. Yeah.
That's terrific.
And then you really would wait, you'd grow those seedlings on for the summer with most of the species. You know, there's a few species like black-eyed coneflower that grow so fast, you could plant them out the first year, but it's more ideal to grow them on, just move them to bigger pots and then plant them in September. Because like Kathy said, they're not as quick growing, that, you know, they put more energy into their root system and than your typical horticultural plants, which have been selected and bred to just grow really fast. But they will be more resistant and resilient because of their slow growth.
Yeah, and Kathy, Heather mentioned that Wild Seed Project has seeds for sale, and you also have a way to get seeds to your enthusiasts.
Yes, we do. We're well, first of all, we always invite people to collect seeds at the Native Gardens of Blue Hill because there's enough seed for everybody there. But we're also hosting a seed swap on December 14th from 10 to noon. So you can go to the Native Gardens website at nativemaingardens.org and register for or sign up for the workshop that we're, the seed swap that we're going to be having.
I'm going to go to Emily, who's calling from North Yarmouth. Hi, Emily. Go ahead.
Hi there. I am Emily Basin. I work at Wild Seed Project, and I just wanted to note that we have a seed sowing workshop at in Cape Elizabeth tomorrow at Turkey Hill Farm. It'll be at 2 p.m., so if folks want to go on our website and register for that, they can learn a lot more about native seed growing. And we've got plenty more workshops this fall and winter, so check those out.
Okay, thank you so much, Emily. And to our point that right now is a great time to be talking about this. An email here from Lynn. Wild Ones Midcoast Maine is a local chapter of the National Wild Ones organization. Our members can engage in monthly walks and talks about native plants and visit local gardens, engage in seed saving and planting. Wild Ones hosts a native plant sale at Camden Amphitheater every September that supports our Maine nurseries that grow only native plants by seed. Roots and Shoots in Rockport is an after-school program that engages children in creating backyard habitats by planting and caring for native plants and supporting wildlife with building brush piles, filling bird baths, and composting. And the Rockland Conservation Commission hosts a speaker series for topics related to climate on April 16th of next year. Our talk will be on the benefits of planting native plants and provide information on gardening methods to support wildlife. Andy, I'm wondering, in the years that you've done this kind of work and the what you're doing here at Booth Bay, in Booth Bay at the Botanical Gardens, have you seen a surge in interest and understanding of the benefits of native plants?
Oh, definitely. It's been amazing, particularly the past, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. Prior to my employment here at Botanic Gardens, I was in the commercial nursery industry. And even then, 10 years ago, it was surging and it's just continuing. And I think the interest in natives, not just because of their beauty, but more how important they are for the biodiversity that they're attracting and will attract, and why we want to include those in our gardens. People are, I think, really getting on board with that and how important it is, just seeing how so much habitat is still being destroyed, that anything we can do in our own yards, regardless of whether it's a 10 by 10 backyard in a city or you have 5 acres somewhere, it's all important. And it's amazing, you put these plants in the ground, how quickly you will see the increase in insects and birds and other mammals that you've never seen before. And they're there just waiting for these plants to be put in your yard.
All right. Well, I do want to confirm that we had the time wrong for the film tonight. It airs at 9 o'clock tonight. That is the film that we were talking about with the filmmaker Tara Roberts Zabriskie, The Buzz on Native Plants, 9 o'clock on Maine Public Television. We are talking about native plants on Maine Calling. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. If you're quick, you can send a quick email, talk@mainepublic.org, or comment on our Facebook page or Instagram. We'll be right back.
Maine Calling is made possible by listeners who donate and by Portland Stage, now offering flex passes and ticket samplers this holiday season. PortlandStage.org and the Maine Seaweed Council, supporting Maine's marine economy and waterfront access. SeaweedCouncil.org.
This is Maine Public Radio. You're listening to Maine Calling. I'm Caitlin Bedayan, one of our news reporters, here with Corey Morrissey, our
Morning.
Marketing director, here to tell you guys you have just under 20 minutes to take advantage of our flash matching offer right now. All donations this hour will be matched thanks to Wayne from New Hampshire, who has been a Maine Public member since 1999. Take advantage of that. Give us a call right now, 1-800-866-1475.
So this is a crazy good offer. It's rare. It's awesome. It's so nice that Wayne stepped up. I'm assuming you're a fan of Marketplace. I am as well.
Absolutely.
It's such a great show. So imagine David Brancaccio saying that, talking about a deal where you make an investment, and seconds later, it's doubled. Like, bang, like you're done.
Right off
the bat.
This
is exactly what this is. We only have 20 minutes left. Again, it's a flash match offer. It's such a great deal. Kind of on the thinking about the Maine Calling show today, it's like planting broccoli, turning your back, and then you're eating it for dinner the same day. This is exactly what this is.
I wish that it worked that way when I was planting things.
So it really just jump on. It's 20 minutes. Don't go too crazy. Get to the phone. But again, it's 1-800-866-1475, 800-866-1475, or go to mainepublic.org where you can donate safely online.
Absolutely. And it is important. I know the Maine Calling folks have been listing a different number to call them if you're looking to make a gift. Please give us a call at this number, 1-800-866-1475. Really, this is only for this hour. You've got less than 20 minutes.
Indeed. Aha, the phone's
ringing.
We love hearing that sound.
Take advantage of this.
We have volunteers
like
waiting for
folks.
You guys. Absolutely. And the thing is, any increase that you do, any match will go for if you're an existing Evergreen member and you decide to increase a little bit. Thank you very much. If you are a new donor for the first time or you're just doing a one-time gift, everything is matched. This is it's magical, really. It's kind of exciting.
Absolutely. And it's only because of these donations that we can offer shows like Maine Calling. It is really your support that makes all of this possible. More than 75% of Maine Public's funding comes from community donations. It's why it's so important that we hear from you today and why this deal is so great, because really you are making twice the impact with no additional needs from your side. So please give us a call, 1-800-8 866-1475.
And if you're listening right now, you're a fan of Maine Calling, so you've probably been with us for a while. Maine Calling is started with two shows a week with Keith Shortall, and then we brought on Jonathan Smith. Thank gosh, Jonathan's such a good guy, but we worked with the Diane Rehm show, and then we brought in Jennifer Rooks, and who does not love Jennifer Rooks? And then, of course, Cindy Hahn came in. All this growth is possible by your donation. And again, that donation is doubled right now just for the next, say, 15 minutes. It's 1-800-866-1475. We have a bank of folks here ready to take your call.
And really, we know that listeners like you appreciate shows like Maine Calling that can really dive into a different topic each day, you know, get more than just the latest updates on something that's going on and impacting lives, you know, that you can really get the history, the background, the context to all of this. And all of that is only possible because of your support. And we are so grateful when you increase or make a new donation. So please give us a call, 1-800-866-1475.
And speaking of grateful, thank you very much, Wayne from New Hampshire, for stepping up. He's been a member since 1999, I understand, which is awesome. So thank you, Wayne. Let's help Wayne out. Let's make Wayne work. 1-800-866-1475. Give us a call. Operators are standing by, which is trite but true. We're ready to go.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Our topic today, getting started now in creating a healthy native plant garden and why the slow gardening philosophy is helpful. My guest, Kathy Rees with Native Gardens of Blue Hill, Heather McCargo with the Wild Seed Project, and Andy Brand with Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post to Facebook or Instagram. Please, if you do one of those things, do them quickly. The phone number again for Maine Calling, 1-800-399-3566. I have an email here from Bruce. I have been trying to shift toward gardening for pollinators, and it has gone well. I have a couple non-natives I'm trying to get rid of. One is Euonymus alata, burning bush. Another is firethorn. Is that invasive or native? I try to burn these bushes and their offspring when I can find and uproot them. I assume that will take care of them. Andy, thoughts?
Burning bushes, for me at least, it's relatively easy because I just literally, wherever I see them, just go and pull them out. And if they're too big, you obviously will need a piece of equipment or heavy duty shovel, but that's for me. For the Euonymus, that's the easiest, and you're not using any chemicals. Pull them out, and the key is you want to get them out before you see all those hundreds or thousands of red fruit that are hanging on them that the birds adore, and that's why we end up with our forest a sea of pink or red right now. Firethorn, unfortunately, I'm bad with common names and better with Latin names. I'm trying to remember the Latin for firethorn. I don't know what that is, to be honest with you.
A quick search gives it pyracantha.
Ah, okay. So that's a non-native. At least here in Maine, it's not particularly hardy. It always looks pretty bad. It's got bright orange fruits. Again, I would, with something like that, if you have only a few, I would try to mechanically remove them. And if it's too close to something that you don't want to possibly damage, not that I'm a proponent of using chemicals a lot, but you could cut the stem and just apply it to that cut surface and not have the herbicide everywhere. It's just very concentrated right at the source. But I would try to first mechanically pull them out. And I haven't even seen pyracantha that prevalent here, so that's a new one for me that it's an issue. But yeah, I would at least cut it down and get rid of the fruit so the birds don't eat it.
All right. Kathy, you know, we're talking here about people's individual gardens, individual home gardens, but you want to bring this movement into sort of you want to expand it and make this something that is more commonplace and mainstream. Tell me about some of the work that you're doing.
Yes. Yeah, so starting in 2020, we started thinking about creating a program to help people who wanted to work in the landscape learn more about native plants. And it's not just the plants, it's the practices too that come along with it. So in conjunction with Kennebec Valley Community College, we created a workforce training program to help people in the industry learn the methods and learn more about native plants. So we're going to be starting another session in January 14th this year. And if you are interested in taking this course, it's 10 sessions on Zoom, 2 hands-on sessions at the Native Garden. You can go to the info at ngbh.org, or you can go to the KVCC website, go to the workforce part of that website, and you'll be able to register there.
So these are folks who may already work in the gardening industry, work in a nursery, or work for a landscaper. Help them to learn more about how to incorporate more native plants into what they're already doing.
Yes, absolutely. And help people who want to get in this industry get a start. I mean, a lot of times people don't really know that much about gardening, but there's this huge demand for people to work in this industry. And what a better job than to work outdoors with plants and with native plants too.
All right. And Heather, are you doing this kind of work as well, where you're working not just with homeowners, but with people who work in the industry?
Well, both Andy and I are about to teach a class through Coastal Maine Botanic Garden that's on Zoom. I believe it's all on Zoom. And Andy will be teaching the woody plants, and I will be doing the native herbaceous species. And then there's 2 other sessions with that on different aspects of, you know, doing ecological landscape. So that's one instance that I'm doing soon. I've also do a lot of webinars and other things on design. I did do the Wild Ones National Group has a website with a lot of design templates, and they asked me to do one that was launched in September. And so that's particularly helpful for Mainers, because I know people get so overwhelmed and confused by design. And so I did they asked me to do a whole yard. So I picked, 2 growing conditions that I think people struggle with. One was a yard with a lot of trees around it. And then the other side of the house has some hot baking sun. So that's available for free to download on the Wild Ones website. And we have a link to it also on the Wild Seed Project website. So
Andy,
yes.
Yeah, Andy, I wanted to turn to you. If somebody's thinking about this and listening to this program, but kind of really likes their kind of traditional garden, does a garden that's a wild, a native garden have to look wild and woolly, or can it still be kind of neat and tidy and attractive in the old-fashioned way?
We've been at the Botanic Gardens, we've been changing our cultural practices and how we're dealing with our plants here. And Kathy mentioned, not cutting everything back and leaving things standing throughout the seasons and through the winter and through next spring. We've been doing a lot more of that, leaving leaves and such. And I think you can have the best of both worlds. Is it going to look like one of the formal gardens in England? No. I don't think that's what we should be striving for. I mean, you can have order in your native plant garden, but you want a little mess. You want those leaves being eaten by the native insects. You want birds eating the fruit and picking on the ground and scratching. And so you can have beautiful milkweeds, but you don't have to have them in these perfect clusters and then mulch and then another grouping. That's just, for me, that's not as attractive to the biodiversity we're trying to get and to, all the animals that these plants have evolved with. And
I guess where I'm going, though, is you don't have to have a field. You can still have a garden bed and have
definitely, yeah,
put you certain can have colors in one and certain colors in another. Go ahead.
Yep. Just around the perimeter of your house. Yeah, it doesn't have to be very big, and it can still look beautiful, but still, attract all kinds of things. Yeah.
And you can add a lot of native plants right to your existing garden in so many wonderful ways. Mm-hmm. Like Heather was talking about the various layers of herbaceous plants, shrubs, trees, that you can always add more layers. You can always add ground covers. We have thousands of wonderful native ground covers that you can add. Put them right under your shrubs and get rid of that mulch.
Well, thank you so much, you all. And this is getting me itchy to get my fingers into the ground before it freezes. Our guest today, Kathy Rees, Executive Director and Co-Founder of Native Gardens of Blue Hill, Andy Brand, Director of Horticulture for Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, and Heather McCargo, an educator who founded the Wild Seed Project. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. A reminder that the buzz about native plants is on Maine Public Television tonight at 9. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the Northern Lights. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
Maine Calling is made possible by listeners who donate and by Coffee by Design, growing a business committed to community and sustainability locally and worldwide. CoffeeByDesign.com and Bowdoin College, where the Perry McMillan Arctic Museum presents Northern Nightmares, Monsters in Inuit Art, Bowdoin.edu/arts.
This is Maine Public Radio. I'm Caitlin Bedayan from our news team, joined by Corey Morrissey, our Director of Marketing, here to tell you have just 5 minutes to make a donation that will be matched right now. Call right away before we hit the top of the hour here. The number is going to be 1-800-866-1475.
Yeah, absolutely. And even we're told by our pledge producer that even if you just call exactly at that moment, exactly at noon, we're going to get you. So it's really super incredibly generous, supportive. Macaulay and Carol Lord from Brunswick, they've stepped up to the plate, which is awesome. So they will match anything that you pledge for us today.
That's true. If this is a one-time donation, your first-time donation, or if you're an evergreen friend who gives on a monthly basis, if you increase that donation as well, that increase will be matched here, thanks to Macaulay and Carol Lord from Brunswick. So please, you only have a few minutes. Time is of the essence. Give us a call at 1-800-866-1475.
And when you really think about it, first of all, anyone who donates, we really appreciate it. It's so, you know, wonderful that you support the station, but talk about like bang for your buck. Like if you donate right now, it's doubled. I mean, that's wonderful. It's really powerful. It's a great way for you to support the station because you're listening to Maine Calling. We love Maine Calling. You do too. You love the service that we provide. It's free over the air across the state of Maine. It's available to everyone, especially with something like Maine Calling. Maine Calling is always trying to cover so many fascinating, varied topics. Only possible through your support. And that starts by calling us at 1-800-866-1475. Again, 1-800-866-1475. Or go online, mainepublic.org, where you can donate securely.
Absolutely. And, you know, we love to catch you here right as Maine Calling has
ooh,
wrapped
another call.
Up.
Love that sound.
You know, such a great example of the programming that you support with your donations, especially today's. That was about native plants that ties in so well to the Maine Public Film Series TV show, The Buzz on Native Plants, airing for the first time tonight at 9 o'clock. You know, just a really great example of all the programming that Maine Public offers that is only possible thanks to your support. So please give us a call, 1-800-866-1475.
And absolutely, and your donation allows, well, all the great programs. So anything on the weekends, Morning Edition with Irwin, Ari in the afternoon, and Nicole in the afternoon, all sorts of stuff. But specifically the Maine Calling, I really want to focus on these folks because it's a powerful team. But like you'll hear so many, one day you're going to hear about from Paula Poundstone, then you're going to have a show about the eclipse, then you're going to do a show actually about grammar, which apparently is one of their more popular shows. Porcupines early this week. You never know. And it's so varied, and it's only possible by the support that we get from our community. 75% of the funding for Maine Public comes from our community. It's huge. It's a responsibility for us to do the best job that we can. And I think that Maine Calling is a great example of how good Maine Public can be.
It really is. And truly, you want to get in right now for that match because you have just 2 minutes here before the top of the hour to have all of your donations doubled. No extra work from you, thanks to Macaulay and Carol Lord from Brunswick. And really, you know, Maine Calling is so respondent to current events and what listeners are looking for, the way it has grown over the years. All of that is possible because of your support. And really, there's so much work behind the scenes that goes into it, into lining up callers and to finding new topics that are going to be interesting to all the listeners. And so we really value that collaborative element. And it's something that we can only do because of those gifts and that support from listeners like you. So feel free to give us another call. You've got less than 2 minutes here to still get that matched. 1-800-866-1475.
This is like watching the end of the thriller of the end of some movie. You're like, we're almost there, we're almost there. And Caitlin is right. If you call right before noon, as soon as you talk to operator, it's going to count. You're going to get right there under the wire. And again, it's 1-800-866-1475. Any donation that you make in the next 1 minute, single minute, will be doubled. And you know, where else in the world does that take place?
Absolutely. And it's because of this support from listeners that lets us keep all of these services free and free to listen to on the air. And, you know, if you miss a Maine Calling episode that you really wanted to catch, or you had to run off to grab something to eat for lunch and you missed the middle, you can go online to mainepublic.org and listen back to everything whenever you have the free time to do that. And that's only possible because of the support from listeners. So please give us a call, 1-800-866-1475.
Absolutely. And you know, also you can go online, you can sneak it in online as well, mainepublic.org. So you can donate securely there. And it's really, you know, it's incredibly generous of Wayne. We had some other folks who donated, who matched earlier this hour. It shows the strength and the interest that people have in supporting the service. And we know that you listeners out there value what we do and how we do it. So again, 1-800-866-1475 is the number to call.
Thank you for your time. You're listening to Maine Public Radio.